Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, we talk about, is the game in need of change? Bomber Thompson's troubles, and we go through our tips for this week.
That was out of bounds!
I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is...
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Thursday. It is time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. Quarters.
Duff, how are you?
Good day to you. And, well, apparently the game's a mess.
Yeah, I don't think...
Not worth watching.
We have this discussion every year. The game isn't a mess. There are areas of the game that need addressing, but there are always areas of the game that need addressing. I think the game's actually in pretty good nick, and if you look at it in terms of TV ratings, if you look at it in terms of bums on seats, I certainly was at a game on Sunday that was just one of the best games I've seen in recent times, the Derby.
The Derby was a great
game. So, look, there are bad games, but there's always been bad games. It's just the luck of the draw, really. There are a few areas they can address, though. Everyone's got a theory on congestion and how you address it. Your theory, Duff?
Well, let's get into that straight away. Of course, we are speaking to you by virtue of Tab Touch today. Glenn Quartone, of course, is the sports editor of the Sunday Times, and I'm the senior football writer at the West Australian. So, Quarters, there have been a number of suggestions bandied around to ease congestion around the ball.
Really interesting, too. There's so many of them.
Do you like any of them?
No, look, I don't like zoning per se. I don't mind Chris Scott's suggestion that we strip back to 16 players on the field and 6 on the bench, but I'd prefer us not to do that. There's other areas. There've been suggestions. The prior opportunity rule goes after the first prior opportunity, so it becomes a team prior opportunity rule. What I'd like to see, I would like to see a reduction in interchange. So the two things I'd like to see done aren't really changes to the game. They're just stripping it back to its traditional base. One is a reduction in interchange, and I think a massive reduction in interchange. I'm not going to put a number on it, but I think we need to massively reduce interchange. So you increase fatigue, you slow the game down a little bit. Everyone says speed's great. I'm not necessarily in that camp. I like quick, fast footy, but... I think we can find a healthy mix somewhere between one-on-ones and fast footy. The other thing I'd like to see is why not just, and this is not zoning as such, why not just have, after each goal, everyone starts in their position. Simple as that. So the full forwards at full forward. Forward pockets are in the forward pockets. Flankers are on the flanks. Centre-half forwards at centre-half forward. And you run into the square after the bounce, but as it was played when you were a kid. I'm just saying, after each goal... would tidy it up a little bit, and then you're going to have a bit of movement around the ground. But after each goal, I think it'll be a good starting point, and you're taking the game back to its traditional roots. You're not necessarily changing it.
Okay, we could have a bit of fun with this. And so I could say, let's put everyone bar the fullback and full forward on either team inside the centre square, create a lot of space outside of the centre square. One suggestion I didn't mind was the notion that no one should be allowed to enter the centre square other than the 8 players that are in there until the ball clears the centre square after the centre stoppage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind that one because when you think back to what was the greatest correction to congestion back in the 70s, they introduced the diamond.
Yes, well, that was due to the Hawthorne man, John Kennedy, and they went from a diamond. No, they did. They went from a diamond to a square, didn't
Correct.
They?
Correct. So it started as a diamond. So Kennedy had Kennedy's commandos, and they were basically just fitness. Coming down the field in a wave.
Super fit, yeah.
So they introduced the diamond, which became the square, to try and get cleaner breaks from the centre. So given that now they're charging in there and congestion starts in the centre square after the stoppage, perhaps it is a good idea to have a situation where until that ball clears the centre square, no one else is allowed to enter. And, of course, you've still got congestion around the ground. I'm with you. I don't mind Chris Scott's 16 and six suggestion.
I saw a bit of that, by the way. I was covering VFA as a young buck in Victoria in the 80s, and I was covered a lot of VFA.
Yep.
Played one game, actually, of VFA because they were shorter numbers. But
well, always had the best grand final punch-ups, the VFA.
Oh, they did. Oh, Sunday. You'd watch your game of you'd watch your waffle or your VFL on the Saturday, and then on the Sunday, I think it was on Channel 10, you'd have the VFA, and it was Freddie Cook and Frosty Miller, and it was basically you'd watch it for the fights, not for the footy, which is a bit of an indictment. But
yeah, unfortunately, it got as our standard on on-field violence changed.
Yeah.
And a long overdue change, I might add. It got pretty rank, didn't it?
Oh, some, yeah. And one of my favourites was Billy Swan, who's Dane Swan's dad. And I think Dane Swan's in the news today for another reason, but we digress.
Okay.
yeah, a bit of a sex tapes emerged this morning. So
right,
anyway,
we'll okay.
anyway, back to the point.
Yeah, so 16 and 6. I don't mind that. But quarters, the thing we have to protect is the contest. And I think, like, people are criticising the skill levels of players. I think the skill level in games suffers sometimes because players are being asked to execute really tough skills and really tough decisions with a lot of numbers around the ball.
Yeah, and under extreme pressure when they're executing those skills.
If you open the game out and those skills are allowed to take effect,
yep.
you might get an uncontested game. You might get a game where it's simply a matter of lead up, kick, hit target, lead up, kick, hit target, go inside 50, mark ball, shot on goal.
Yeah.
And I don't think we want that. I think we want a point where there is fierce tackling and fierce contests around the ball. We want contests in the air and on the ground. We want highly skilled attacks, but we also want fierce and diligent defence.
I want to blend though too. I still like a bit of one-on-one. I still like a bit of lead up and contact and a bit of lead up and hit up. Not all the time. I think there's room for a mix of everything, and I'd like to think you could go to the footy and see a bit of everything.
Yep.
There's a lot of things about our game that are great,
yes.
and it's still a great game, by the way.
Yep.
Doesn't need a lot of tinkering, I reckon. It's still in pretty good nick.
Yeah, the other phenomenon I reckon is at work here is that, and this particularly applies over here, I reckon, in Western Australia. In the old days, we would watch the winners on a Sunday night.
And God bless it.
And that was like the football Bible, the winners. You know, you would watch a waffle game on the Saturday. In the country where I was, you would go and play football on the Sunday, and then you would get yourself near a TV as soon as you possibly could after the game, and you would watch the winners.
Because you couldn't tape it in those days.
Correct. And the winners was three games. And
yeah.
they generally picked out, you know, one of those games was an absolute clinker of a game, and
yeah.
they might show the best quarter of that game, and they might show the best quarter of another game. Then they'd show the highlights from the three games. It was basically a highlights package.
Yep.
We now have blanket coverage of nine games.
Yep.
So we see the good ones.
Yes, that's true.
And we see the stinkers.
Yep.
And everyone gets on TV, and I think that our impressions of where the game is at are formed over the nine games as opposed to, you take the three games out of the three best games out of the weekend, let's say the Derby, let's say Richmond,
Collingwood for three and a half quarters.
And let's say Geelong, Sydney down at Geelong. And you look at those three and you say footy's not in a bad spot.
Exactly. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I don't think there was anything intrinsically wrong with the game in the 70s either. You know, people tend to say, oh, there was a lot of there were some bad games in there was still a lot of good games in that era too, you know. I think we just shift through, coaching evolves and players evolve, and it's been a really, really interesting debate this last couple of weeks, I reckon, on the state of footy. And, you know, one thing I'll say is there's some great minds coming up with some really different ideas. So if we can just sieve through them and come up with the best ones, perhaps we can improve our game.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
And a little bit of sadness this week too, Duff, with the obviously Mark Thompson facing some very, very serious charges, drug trafficking, I mirror the thoughts of many people in that. I was fortunate enough to interview Bomber, you know, at his peak as a player, and it's still one of the most fascinating, insightful interviews I've ever done. He was a terrific footballer, and I found him a terrific person to deal with back then. Obviously, he's had a fall, and, you know, he'll have to face the consequences of his actions. I hope he comes through it.
Yeah, you don't wish harm on anybody, but one thing I would say is that the laws of the land are the laws of the land.
Of course.
And if you fall foul of them, you need to face the consequences. It's quite warm and fuzzy over in Melbourne at the moment with everyone trying to wrap their arms around Bomber, but you know, I wouldn't say the Melbourne media was as forgiving as Ben Cousins.
Yeah. Oh, look, he'll face his day in court and suffer the consequences, and he'll have to go through that. I think the body language from Bomber yesterday was that he's dealing with that.
Yeah.
He realises the dire situation he's in, and he's just going to have to battle through it.
Yeah, and again, you don't wish anyone harm. I think you've got to be a particularly mean-spirited person to wish anyone harm. But
I don't think anyone does. But I think there's a general belief that he's done the crime. He'll do the time if he's found guilty. That is, you know. So that's fair enough.
Yep. As Ross Lyon said at his press conference yesterday,
yes,
innocent until proven guilty in Australia still applies.
Yep, it does indeed. So,
Harley Bennell, bit of ballet.
Yes. They might have to change our commentary.
Harley Benelshikov.
I'm not.
Which, incidentally, is a line I borrowed from someone off Twitter, so I can't claim that. So let's hope he is. Yes. So the theory here is that basically part of the calf muscle strength is gained from how you move your feet, and that if you, as a lot of footballers and athletes do now, they have these runners and boots with strong foot support, et cetera, et cetera. It does take away from your foot's natural strengthening of the calf muscle. So they brought in a physio who worked with Ben Reid. Of course, Ben Reid from Collingwood had that chronic calf problem that afflicted him for probably roughly about the same time that Harley has been bothered by his. It was a 2-3 season event, I think, with Ben Reid. He appears to have come out the other side of it now, so they're hoping to get a similar result with Harley. So he plays for Peel against Claremont on Saturday. Ross Lyon says he starts off at 50% and then will probably be ramped up 70%, 90%, and then after that, depending on what form he's in, then they start to look at him for AFL duty. So we're talking minimum 3 weeks.
Yeah, Ross seems to think he said four. He won't like that, so possibly three. A minimum of three.
Yeah.
You know, that err on the side of caution. But, you know, as we've said repeatedly, despite all the off-field issues, the boy can play. Let's get him out there. Let's see him play some footy, because we're all salivating over what he can do on the footy field and what he can do for Freo. If he does rank up a couple of three vote stuff at the end of the game, what is there, a curtain call and a few bouquets of flowers on it?
I didn't see that one coming.
we better get into some tips. Friday, GMHBA, Geelong versus GWS. I don't want to go into too many outs, but
be wearing a tutu.
there'll be some
all those tights that the male ballet dancers used to wear.
Well, their players wear those similar things. Anyway,
if he's wearing those tights, I hope they're covered by shorts. That's all I can say.
Oh, dear. I'm hearing you. A bit of camel toe. a few outs for Geelong and GWS, and they're really, really big outs too. Maybe an in. I don't think little Gaz will play for Geelong. It's a hard one to pick. You know, obviously Geelong's clearance issues are well documented. Their need of a big, strong ruckman's well documented. I do expect Zach Smith to come in.
He must have done something really bad in real life.
Yeah, I know.
Because they've been getting carved up in the ruck since. And,
yeah, they have. They have. It's probably time. There's a lot to like about GWS. I'm picking Geelong. And good luck to Leon Cameron, his 100th game as coach too. But I'm picking Geelong. Geez, they don't lose twice. You know, I mean, it's a bit of a line ball game, this one, for me. I'm going with Geelong. Whether GWS travels particularly well to that ground or not, it's a moot point. But you don't see Geelong lose twice, two games in a row, too often down there.
Yeah, the home ground decides this for me. Mm. I think Geelong...
Did last week too, by the way. So it didn't come off. So
I'll stay with Geelong. I think GWS are just at an interesting phase of their season where they've got to win the games they should win and stay in touch.
And this isn't one that they necessarily should win, in my opinion.
I think, you know, the Toby Green injury, the Josh Kelly injury. Josh Kelly back this week?
No, he's not. And DeLidio and Cameron are out as well this week. Significant outs.
They might have even put this one in the two hard
baskets. I think they have. I think that's what they've done.
Yeah.
So, I did say that about Sydney last week, though.
Yeah, so interesting.
Maybe I tell you what, they win this one, then Geelong is in dire trouble and they're looking all right.
Yeah, it's Geelong's one of those teams they're hard to get a handle on, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, we think their best could be pretty good.
Yeah, it is. It is very good, their best.
But they're a fair way off it
yep.
at the moment. And that said, that's personnel as much as anything. You know,
yep.
no Ablett, even though Wayne Carey thinks they would be better without him.
And Danger not looking 100%, like clearly has a back issue.
Yeah.
Which was exacerbated last week when he copped a fair whack in it. So he's probably doing pretty well just to be out there at the moment. Danger.
I reckon the stoppage coach might have got some feedback.
Yeah.
Too. Sydney wins the last 12 of that game.
Yep.
Comes storming over the top, turns, 22-point deficit into 16-17-point win.
Mm.
Interestingly, footage shown during the week showed that Sydney were exiting via the hit to the 6 to 9 o'clock area repeatedly.
And it was Josh Kennedy.
And Josh Kennedy.
Unattended. Correct. And often with Danger, his direct opponent.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is Danger's fault, because it's not necessarily his go.
Yeah.
But he was just nowhere near him.
Yeah.
So Josh was, it's extraordinary really to think that Josh Kennedy was clear
yes.
at those stoppages.
So we're both on the Cats.
We are indeed. On to Saturday. Again, a lot of outs for Western Bulldogs v Gold Coast. A lot of good players playing, but they've had a couple of significant outs, Lynch being one of them, for about 3 or 4 weeks. They may as well be playing on Mars, Duff. And they are. They're playing at Mars Stadium in Ballarat. I'm going for, not particularly convinced with the Dogs just yet. Bont finding some form. I'm going with the Dogs here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Dogs. At some point, the Dogs have to rally and start to get their season together. And Gold Coast, it's just a long time on the road.
It is a long time on the road. And you know what's great about it, though? I mean, and it shows, I guess, they're the biggest tackling side in the comp at the moment.
Yeah.
So obviously they haven't got enough of the footy. But they're having a crack. They are having a red-hot crack. I think it will be, this period will be great in their development. As harsh, as funny as that sounds, they're not winning games, but I think it will be, won a couple earlier, of course, but I think it will be good for them in the long term.
You know what happens, though? If you go on the road for long enough,
you become later, Willie Nelson.
Sooner or later, you have a stinker.
Yeah.
You just do. It
might be Ballarat too. It's pretty cold there.
Yes, and inhospitable, and probably for people from the Gold Coast, not particularly inspiring quarters. Not that there's anything wrong with Ballarat as a town.
No, Ballarat's a fantastic town. You know what Ballarat means, an indigenous word, it means hole in the ground. And when you drive into Ballarat, you see all these TV aerials.
For visitors, that's just shortened to hole.
Which is why it's a gold mine. It is a hole in the ground. It's actually a hole, and that's why you've got all these TV antennas up. And so it's bloody cold. It's cold in Ballarat.
Yes,
a foreboding place.
I've been to Ballarat in the middle of winter. So
I reckon they just go there and put the Eureka Stockade flag up, and that's it. The Gold Coast.
It's a very significant place in Australian history.
It is,
because of gold and Eureka.
Yes,
I'm not sure that. Gold Coast will find it as inspiring
exactly.
as the residents this weekend.
So we're both on the Dogs.
We're both on the Dogs.
Essendon Hawthorn at the MCG. Now, I'm picking the Hawks here, but I reckon Hawthorn's gettable at the moment. I wasn't entirely convinced last week against the Saints. Took three quarters to shake them off. Saints not playing great footy. Essendon obviously has had a couple of stinkers, but they tend to respond after a couple of stinkers. Still a lot of talent in that side. I've seen them on the track this week. Woosh has just got fed up with them not playing enough man-to-man footy on the weekend, so he's got them playing pretty tough. He's had them training pretty tough. There's been a lot of tackling, a lot of players coming off second best too on the track, which probably won't do them any harm.
Yeah.
So he's certainly stiffened them up for this match. It's always a big game, Essendon and Hawthorn. I'm picking the Hawks, but I'm sniffing an upset here. And it's obviously, I'm hoping I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hawks. If you look at the form lines here, the obvious pick is Hawthorn.
Yep.
One thing I'll say about John Worsfold, when John Worsfold was at West Coast, and particularly through the early years at West Coast, up until about 07, when obviously, the whole thing fell apart because of the off-field cultural issues. They were a very constant football team, and the effort was constant. And what we're seeing at Essendon now is not constant effort. Now, I know that Woosha has mellowed with age, But he's going to look at that, being the person he is, the player he was, and the coach he was initially. He's going to look at that, and he's not going to like that. And I think he won't be asking for change. He'll be demanding change.
And perhaps if it doesn't go his way this year, or the way he wants it to go this year, there'll be some significant personnel change next at the end of the year too. I think there'll be players coming in who can adhere to his game plans and what he wants to do.
So the message that he put out after the game last week was that, yes, we are trying to play the territory game and we're not doing it very well. There are going to be players that, if that doesn't change pretty quickly, there's going to be some big calls on players.
Well, they want to jump to a bit of a lead, Essendon, because Hawthorn's the most accurate side in the league this year. Bruce Link's got 19-4, which is great accuracy. So Hawthorn, when Hawthorn gets opportunities, they do make the most of them.
When you talk about underrated players in the comp, Luke Bruce has got to be in the conversation for your top 10. Every year there's a suggestion that he's on the trade table, which indicates that maybe he's not that highly valued, but which I can't believe. He is the consummate finisher, Luke Bruce. He steps out of tackles, incredibly strong through the hips.
Yeah, he is.
And if you give him the ball within 40, you might as well put down your glasses and run back to the centre.
Just a bit of trivia. Cousin of Trent Barrett, the Manly coach.
Is that
both
right?
From the same town in a very small town of New South Wales, just over the Vic border, which escapes me at the moment. But a state of origin legend, Trent Barrett, and now the Manly coach, and Luke Bruce, a triple premiership player with Hawthorn. So,
and given you're a Hawthorn tragic, his nickname is?
Of course, Punky.
Punky Brewster. Punky Brewster,
yes.
Correct.
So we're both picking the Hawks.
We're picking the Hawks.
West Coast v Port Adelaide, Optus Stadium. Looks like we're going to see the return of Paddy Ryder.
Yep.
It surprises me a little, given the concerns over the surface at Optus Stadium and that he's coming back from an Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
That surprises me a little, but they certainly need him. They've done okay without him, but he is one of those players that really is very, very significant to his footy club. Have his work cut out, obviously, against Nick Nat, and a very impressive Scott Lysett so far this year. Couple of interesting matchups. One of them will probably be very underrated, talking about underrated players, Brad Shepherd, probably go to Robbie Gray. And I'm going to pick West Coast on the strength that it's at home. They're in good form. But, you know, I think Port will give a very good account of themselves.
So form, venue, and most recent matchup all points to West Coast here.
Yep.
I mean, the Eagles just aren't doing much wrong, are they? They're in good nick. They won a great Western Derby, which was a war of attrition.
Yep.
They played a very powerful second quarter to do that.
Yep.
Their ruck combination is evolving as a genuine two-ruck combination.
Good depth coming up through the midfield as well.
And they're both of those players in the ruck combination are adding value around the ground, which I thought was Scott Lysett's great strength in the Derby. You're absolutely right about Brad Shepherd. Mm. Very underrated player, very good lockdown defender. And they can use guys like Yeo as they're needed, you know, across halfback or through the midfield. So.
And really settled in defence, really settled in attack. That's what you like about the Eagles at the moment. Start of a really tough month for the Eagles. We will find out a lot about whether they're just a top eight team, which we expect them to be now, or higher than that. I think we'll find there'll be a few questions answered in the next month. This is week one of it.
Yeah, I'm revising them upwards constantly, Quarters.
I've got them in the eight. I haven't gotten them in the four yet. It's early.
I've got them in the six.
Yeah.
So they're somewhere between the eight and the four. Yes, West Coast at home.
Sydney v North Melbourne at the SCG. Josh Kennedy v Ben Cunnington will be a ripper. Two contested ball bulls, going head-to-head. That'll be a ripper. North had a step backwards last week, but been a good side this year so far, being the surprise packet, I guess. Look, I can't go past Sydney at the SCG. Haven't played their best footy at the SCG this year, but I don't think they'll have too many problems this week.
So in the 1980s, two 188-centimetre players who were 90-odd kilos, that'd be centre-half back versus centre-half.
Yeah, it would
forward.
Be, yeah, yeah.
Now it's
or
Cunnington.
Even possibly in the ruck.
Yes. Now it's Cunnington v Kennedy in the
midfield. That's right.
Scary, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Maybe that's why we've got so many injuries at the moment.
Yeah,
they're big, strong, and fast.
They are. Your tip?
Sydney.
Yeah. Adelaide v Carlton at Adelaide Oval, the Bryce Gibbs Cup. Bryce Gibbs has been in, he's been in really good form. I don't know whether it's because of necessity. Adelaide has had a few injuries, but he's got career high averages in disposals, inside 50s and clearances, Bryce Gibbs.
Yep.
Career high. That's what I would say. That's a remarkable effort, given you've just joined a new club. And the part of it would be through necessity. Carlton, I still maintain, are on the right track. And Carlton supporters out there, maintain the faith. It will be rewarded down the track. You just got to endure this pain at the moment. Think of the big picture. Can't see him winning this.
Handy game for Adelaide to have with Tex Walker's
yep.
hamstring issue. So they need a couple of games where they can just bank the win
yep.
And try and get their troops together for a real assault at things in the back half of the year. You're absolutely right about Gibbs. Loving Seedsman's work off halfback, as we mentioned earlier this week, and loved Wayne Miller's game last week as well. So hard to see anything but Adelaide in this
and
one.
And one of my favourites, Ellis Yeoman. I like him. And good to see him getting some continuity, getting some form and getting a few games too. I think he's added something. And Crouch back as well hasn't hurt them.
Just needs to learn to take the top off the bottle before he has his drink. Did you see that on Balance?
I didn't see that, no.
Just trying to have a drink of his Gatorade.
Well, who hasn't done that? Or taking the little plastic
cover. Not with Gatorade, though, for us.
fair enough. Poor bugger. You can't get away with much of these days, can you? On to Sunday, Richmond v Freo at the MCG. These have been good games in the last few years, apart from last year's one-sided contest.
Yeah.
They've been good games, often decided with a Monday kick after the siren. Richmond in really good form. It is their third game in 13 days, so it's been a tough run for Richmond. Still the highest scoring team, averaging 105 points. Freo, very good last week. In losing to West Coast. Don't think it'll be the blowout it was last year. I expect them to give a better account of themselves, but I think Richmond wins this game reasonably comfortably. 5 to 6 goals for mine.
Yeah, Richmond for me. It'd be interesting to see how the kids, the Freo kids, go under the manic Richmond pressure they've set. In many respects, Richmond has forced this debate about the state of the game on all of us, and not just by the way they play, but by the fact that when Damien Hardwick was asked, if you had to insert a small forward into your team, would you go for the highly skilled goal kicker or the tackler?
He said the tackler.
And he said the tackler, which probably tells you where coaching is at the moment. Richmond play an unbelievable game. They have unbelievable and unshakable belief in their method. If you wanted something that puts the door just slightly ajar for Freo, it's what you mentioned, the three games in 13 days. But generally speaking, they can manage to recover them these days.
Jeez, if Richmond can maintain the intensity of their game plan through May, June, July into the finals run-up, I'll just take my hat off to them.
Yep.
I expect them at some stage. There's got to be attrition.
Yep.
There's got to be. So I'm just not sure if they're due yet, because they look like they're pretty cherry ripe right at the moment.
But they're kind of handpicked to play that game, aren't they? You know, it's not like like when Ross Lyon comes to Fremantle, he wanted a similar sort of game, but he got his players to adapt to that game. Richmond has almost been handpicked and hand-designed
to play that game.
Castagna, Butler, Dan Rioli when he's in the team, all these small forwards, Prestia gets added in, Caddy gets added in, strong tackling bloke who can compete in the air, one tall forward, one ruckman.
Little Higgins, he's just joined him, yeah.
It's they're almost designed to play this way. So Richmond by, I'd say 30 points.
Yep. Okay, St Kilda v Melbourne, Etihad Stadium. Interesting game this, because Melbourne, after a decisive victory in the end last week against Essendon, they need to back it up. Too often we've seen Melbourne not back it up. And if they're to figure, they have to win this game against the St Kilda that's playing with very little confidence at the moment. Has some talent, not A-grade talent, as we've spoken about in the past. I'm going to pick Melbourne with a concern over my tip, because of their history of not backing it up.
Well, I think we've both said it, Quarters, and it's probably time to say it again. We don't trust them.
No, not yet.
So you're right. This is exactly the sort of game that Melbourne, and you know what? It can be as ugly as they like to make it, and it can be as close as close can be, but they have to win.
Hmm. Just find a way to win these games that you should win,
yeah,
or you're not in the mix. Simple as that.
Exactly.
Melbourne?
Melbourne.
Okay, final game, Brisbane v Collingwood at the Gabba. Again, Brisbane haven't done much wrong, but haven't won a game. You know, they've just, it's been admirable to watch, but frustrating at times for them. And so I can't pick them here. Obviously, Collingwood's in great form. Midfield really, really hit its straps, Collingwood.
Yeah.
And the forwards are benefiting, and the possession game going, territory game going well for Collingwood at the moment too. So it's pretty hard to make a case against them. Right now, I have trust in Collingwood, which I haven't had the last couple of years. That trust that we're talking about with Melbourne, I have that with Collingwood at the moment. I think they're one of the form teams.
This is a test. This is a test for the Pies, because if you're a team at where Brisbane is at, we think, your first challenge is to play strongly at home in front of your supporters. They'll be a lot tougher to beat there than they would be
absolutely
anywhere else.
So they should be.
So if Collingwood is a little bit off, this game will get close and Collingwood will get nervous.
But my point is, why should they be off? This is the difference now. I have trust in they can't afford
to
be.
Well, they have the shorter breaks as well, and they have travel as well, and they have different climate. So there's a few little things here that, you know, could make this interesting. I'm tipping Collingwood, and I do trust them to a degree. I trust them more than I trust Melbourne at the moment, but they wouldn't want to get too much wrong for this to get
There's a little bit of a red flag going up.
I reckon there'd be, if I was Nathan Buckley, I'd be nervous before this game.
Well, I'm putting a checkered flag up on that game, not a red one. So
I think they'll smack them?
A black and white checkered flag. Okay. I don't think they'll smack them, but I think they'll win it. And I don't think there'll be too many. Probably be close, you know, relatively close for half. I think they'll be okay in the second half. So
how many did you get? You got eight?
I did get eight last week, yes. Very happy with that.
Yeah, I think I lost count of how many I got. I think I actually finished up with seven. I'm pretty sure seven, maybe even eight. I'm not sure. I know I got one wrong. May have got two wrong.
Sydney, but I got wrong. So, and I'm, as I said earlier in the week, I'm happy to get that one wrong. It was great to watch their last quarter.
Yeah.
Good luck with all your tips this week.
Yep. All you guys out there, happy tipping. Hope your team goes well. Hopefully it is a good weekend for all of you. We'll be back on Tuesday for another edition of the Duff and Quarters podcast for Tab Touch. We hope to talk to you then.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.